Okay. That brings us to the next two items on the agenda or under unfinished business. One was a cleaned up version of the underwriting motion, which we have a draft of, but we haven't looked carefully at it. So it's on here in part as a placeholder to continue so that we don't forget about it, right? We'll get to it when we've looked at it carefully. And then the other item.
Motion to postpone that until the next meeting.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I thought I think you're confusing this. I think this was a motion that was offered by Lawrence. And the motion that was the final version was passed.
What happened was we passed it. You are exactly correct. We passed a motion on underwriting. Mr. Tatum, the parliamentarian, pointed out that there was the way the motion was written was we had interwoven whereas clauses with therefore be it resolved clauses, you know, and his point is that we should clean it up and put all the whereases at the beginning.
Okay.
And then have all the, and so the thing is that we weren't going to change the substance of the motion. We were just going to clean it up. And, it takes another set of eyeballs to make sure that, you know, that we really didn't miss anything, right? Cause the intent isn't to, change the meeting at all. Right.
Okay. So I moved to postpone until next meeting.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Thank you, Ali. Any objections to the motion to postpone that motion to next meeting? Hearing none, 6B is postponed till next week. And then it did sort of fall off the agenda for a little while, but the next item of unfinished business is, you may recall that we passed a motion on at the October 27th meeting about investigating the KPFK treasurer situation, and I think the point was the motion passed and it said that we would investigate, but with the assumption that, you know, we would then decide whether there was any action for the PMB to take or not. And we haven't sort of gotten to that point yet. And I see Ali Lex's hand. Ali?
Yeah, this is in reference to the motion that passed on October 27th made by Velia Jones regarding the KPFK local station board meeting and not providing proper notice and other procedural failings in replacing their treasurer. I have a quick letter to read from Kim Kaufman. This is Kim Kaufman speaking. Thank you for addressing this matter. This is important insofar as the rules, according to the bylaws and Roberts, were ignored and misapplied with respect to the removal of a duly elected LSB officer. The procedures that must be followed for the term at the pleasure of is found on page 692 in the index of Roberts. That is, to remove an elected officer, either a two-thirds vote with no notice or a majority vote with notice is required, or, alternately, only for cause, half the LSB was disenfranchised by the lack of any notice. Also, an election for any officer must also be publicly noticed. None of this occurred. I would like to add, I am not part of any faction. Over my 12 years monitoring KPFK's finances, I've always been generous to all factions with my criticism of malfeasance or incompetence as far as KPFK's finances go. I have been heroized and demonized by all sides. At this time, KPFK remains the biggest financial problem in the network because, unfortunately, factional games and personal agendas prevail over financial expertise. This appeal is about fair and open processes that do not disenfranchise the LSB and the public. This is about following the bylaws and Robert's Rules of Orders with coherence and basic common sense. This is about avoiding chaos and legal liability. I'd like the PNB to make a public ruling on this so KPFK's LSB knows that they failed to follow the rules and it should not happen again. But I know the PNB has more pressing issues right now, and any ruling will not change behavior at KPFK. Please place this statement in the minutes. And that was Kim's statement. I'd also like to add, we're not trying to make a motion here to reverse what happened. I believe that the boards will be electing new treasurers within a month or so. So this is really just to outline that the KPFK local station board completely failed to follow the rules that sometimes they demand and scream about following, but in some cases completely ignore when it serves the purposes. That's all.
Thanks, Ali. Beth, I see your hand.
Motion to extend to exhaust the staff.
Is there a second to Susan's motion to extend to exhaust the staff?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend? Hearing none, we will exhaust the staff by hearing from Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
First of all, I had no notice that this would be on tonight's agenda. I didn't receive the agenda until 15 minutes into the meeting and didn't find this item until about 10 minutes ago. So I had no opportunity to prepare for this. The details in this matter a lot. I would like to postpone consideration of this item until Mr. Tatum is able to be present with us. We referred to him extensively throughout the process of replacing the treasurer. And yes, the treasurer for the new year will be elected in 2 weeks. So that's a motion to postpone.
Thank you, Beth. The only thing I'm uncertain about is what it is that we're actually postponing, because there's not a motion on the floor. Technically speaking, right?
Yeah, there's nothing being asked here. There's no motion on the floor. This is just being made a statement.
Right.
And I think part of
the point here is that, lots of people, we passed this motion, back in late October when, the perception was that there had been a wrong and that there was an opportunity perhaps to correct the wrong. And now with the passage of time, I think people have largely agreed that, events overtook us. And at this point, it may not be, worth our while to try to correct the wrong. And I believe that what Kim is asking for here is simply to, have her letter, included in the minutes, which seems like a simple, straightforward thing. But no other action is being asked here. So, and I appreciate that you didn't get the agenda with this item on it. I myself, by virtue of having to look at, some recent agendas, that's how I realized that this was on here. And I also wanted to just note that we never came back to this item. That was my point in putting it on the agenda. So,
Chair, may I be recognized, James?
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Shagard.
Yeah, I want to know if we need a motion. I support putting Kim's letter into the minutes. I just want to know if we need a motion to do so.
I don't think so.
This is one of those, this is one of those items where, if Mr. Tatum were here, I would just ask him that question. I can ask him by, text, because while he's not present, he said that he would try to answer questions if I sent him text, but I am unlikely to get an immediate response from him. So,
why don't I just move to put this letter put this letter into the minutes.
And Teresa will second that.
Oh, got it.
Thank you. Are there?
My hand is up again.
Okay, got it.
My hand is up again.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, you referred to a perception of wrong. I would like to suggest that the perception depends on one's perspective and that I don't have any problem acknowledging Kim's claim of wrong, but that has yet to be adjudicated, and so I'd prefer a more neutral statement. And I would also like to reserve the right to submit my own statement after I've had time to prepare it and not be expected to produce a response to this in the moment with no notice and without Mr. Tatum present.
Okay, so
the KPFK board does have a perspective on this, and they have a right to be heard.
Understood. So I think there's nothing about Jim Sagerton's motion that would prevent you. Okay, let me back up and say, I think there's nothing about Jim Sagerton's motion that would prevent also adding something from Beth Von Gunten, you know, whether it's Beth speaking for Beth herself or Beth speaking for herself and perhaps some others on the KPFK LSB. I suspect it's not because I suspect it wouldn't be something where you could represent yourself as speaking for the entire KPFK LSB. Just, you know, I've been around Pacifica long enough to know that that's probably a dubious proposition, right? But your point is well taken that hang on, let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. You know, your point is well taken whether there was an injustice or not depends on your point of view. And so I'm more than happy to have, you know, kind of equal time, as it were, for both sides of this issue in terms of adding items to the minute. No expectation that you would have to do that this evening. So, so we're back to, I'm just reminding people that we're, talking about Jim Sagerton's motion to add Kim Kaufman's letter to the minutes. Ali, I see your hand.
Yes, so Jim's made the motion to include this in the minutes of this meeting. It's been seconded. Can we ask if there's any objections? If there are none, perhaps we can move on with this meeting.
Yes. Are there any objections to Sagerton's motion to add Kim's letter to the minutes?
Yes. Would want to clarify whether that includes my right to submit a statement on behalf of those who voted in favor of this at KPFK.
I'm sorry, to clarify that it would include your right to...
I want to memorialize the right of those at KPFK who voted for this. Our own statement at a later date.
Yeah. So I think the proper thing to do is for you to amend Jim Sagerton's motion to add that part to it. Is that what you're doing?
Yes. Please consider it that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. And since Sagerton seconded that, are there any objections to Beth's motion to amend to add her ability to add another statement at a future meeting's minutes?
A point of information.
Go ahead, Ali.
Her amendment would not restrict us from adding these minutes to this meeting now, right?
Correct.
She can add her comments or whatever at a later date.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Okay. Any objections to Beth's motion to amend? Hearing none, the amendment carries and the motion is amended. Are there any objections to the motion to add effectively both of these items to the minutes, Kim's tonight and Beth's at a later meeting? Hearing no objections, that motion passes. Okay. And I'm scribbling this down. Okay. So that takes us to the new business item. That concludes unfinished business. So now we're at new business, which is we'd allotted ourselves 20 minutes when we amended the agenda, and here we have six motions from that Jim Dingaman forwarded to us at last week's meeting, basically, but we postponed everything. So anyway, I see Susan Young's hand. Go ahead, Susan.
First, let me apologize to Jim. I'm going to make a motion to refer this full set of motions to the program committee, with the instruction that they consult with the ED and the GMs and PDs.
All right, point of information.
Well, hang on. Yeah, you don't get the A. First, you have to be recognized, and B, Susan, I believe you said you're making a motion to refer this. So, is there a second to Susan's motion?
Alan will second.
Okay. Okay. So thanks. So now we're on discussion of Susan's motion, and so Susan, I'll let you motivate. And then Jim, it'll be your turn. Go ahead, Susan.
Jim has done a boatload of work, and those motions are all long and dense. And I would like them to be the start of a conversation with GMs, not be a long, detailed list of requirements that are very likely to get ignored and for which there is no implementation plan other than to complain that people haven't done them. We put forward the powerful policy of 25% increase in gross revenues by April and a review of all programming. That's powerful. And Jim has provided a prior program committee, I guess 2017 or whenever, came up with a lot of worthwhile stuff. And I suggest that that be given as recommendations, suggestions to the GMs and the PDs from which they can draw, and that there be a conversation between the GMs and PDs and the program committees about what of these things, how these things can be implemented, what ones make sense. And I just think that these multi-page requirements will be ignored, lost, and their very impact is diluted.
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
All right. Well, first of all, these are motions that came out of the programming committee when Kathy and myself chaired it. They were unanimously passed by everybody in those programming committees. So let me summarize. Motion on forward promotion policy. This issue has been debated ad nauseum by broadcasters and program councils within Pacifica. We're talking about internally reinforcing the ability to self-promote the stations. This is not something to not be considered. This is a brand issue about how we actually increase our ability to be heard and in our particular metro market. So I disagree that it's dense. It's dense because these kind of issues of broadcasting are dense. Now, hybridization, that's talking about something that has been in a lot of listservs to for the past 10 to 15 years in the foundation, and that's talking about basically integrating all our stations with all the social media platforms. This has also been debated and argued for many years. This is to set the policies, not to have some vague argument about when we could do it, because frankly, I consider this a motion to essentially bury all this. Thirdly, motion on marathons. This is an interesting problem. In all the stations, we know that we're having problems generating revenue. To actually talk and say that we want to have mandatory training for pitching being implemented and recycled in the staffs at each station, frankly, is something that can improve our revenue. People are better at it in some cases and not. Finally, the motion on training and on air staff and paid and unpaid. This is, again, an essential ingredient needed now. It's not dense. We have uneven knowledge about broadcasting basics throughout the entire station system we have. Only one station has a formal training program. New York used to have training programs. They don't exist anymore. So there's a need to have, this is not like a let's contemplate it kind of issue. This is something that has to be done now to begin to revert the low audience ratings we have in each station. And we are overseeing a broadcasting entity. As I say again and again, it's not a Coca-Cola company. Finally, the Nielsen data issue. Again, that depends on revenue. We're going to have to probably, if we're going to apply to the CPB, we're going to probably have to maybe buy 2 years, a year of books for each station in order to apply to that. So that's like not an item that should be, quote, buried in the sauce. And finally, the strategic goals of the foundation. We can argue all we want about it, but the main problem is how do we build audience? And the goal of that is to have a debate about what we really are here to do. Are we here to have a niche station in each market, which is constantly floundering because of lack of money? Or are we supposed to build a station that has at least 500,000 people listening to it in each market area? And that I don't think is a situation that should be, this is front and center. The responsibility of this board that has fiduciary responsibility for a broadcasting network. I repeat, a broadcasting network. These, all these things, and they've been sent out, you know, and debated. They were, as I said, they were unanimously passed by the programming committee. So I object to this being put into the back burner. These were passed unanimously by the programming committees of this foundation.
Heather, you're up.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody knows, because I was looking at this, all of these motions are in the appendix, if you didn't know that already. Probably everybody has seen that, but I just want to make sure everybody knows that. Thank you.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Susan.
Did this come forward as a committee? Motions out of committee, or did it come forward as new business? Were these adopted by the program committee currently, or one in prior in some prior year?
I'll let you answer that, Jim.
Yeah, they were adopted over several years by the programming committee in a previous iteration, and I should note that every single policy recommendation there, if implemented back then, might have helped avert the problems we're having now.
Got it. So technically speaking, it didn't come out of this PMB's programming committee. And so it's basically being offered as motions by Jim Dingaman, I think. Go ahead, Susan.
Apologies. Yeah, I'm sorry. One more point of information. If these were brought forward by the programming committee in the past, were they actually acted on by the PNB? If they were, aren't they already in place? If they were not, why weren't they?
They collided quite simply with the crisis over Maxie Jackson. And then, of course, we had the crisis that occurred later that year with what happened in New York. So they got lost in the sauce.
So then, Jim, if I could follow up. So then, as far as you know, the PMB did not act on them. I just want to be clear about that.
No, they did not act on them. As I say, they were passed unanimously by the committees in that time period.
Okay. Heather, is that a legacy hand from before?
Well, I guess it's not really, but as chair of the present programming committee, I wish that we'd had this discussion, but as the chair of the present programming committee, I support these, absolutely. And I think that we should also come up with ideas on how to present all these to the various stations.
Thank you. Thanks. Teresa, go ahead.
I'm just wondering who is in charge to implement all of this. When we take away responsibility from our executive director to supervise and lead the various divisions, then there's no consistency. I mean, I just really wonder if we need to have this, if our executive director says, of course, and, you know, their job descriptions say they're going to train, and therefore they're going to train, and they will not be evaluated well if they do not implement a training, for example. And so I think we need to look through them and ask the executive director, can you do this? Can, you know, are you behind this? And because who is going to make sure these things get done if it's not our executive director?
I don't know if Stephanie wants to respond here. Okay. Susan?
Yeah, first, what Heather and Teresa have said go to the issue from my point of view. Heather, yes, the question is, how does this get introduced to the individual stations in a way that isn't overwhelming, in a way that is collaborative, and in a way that recognizes the fact that they are management and we are governance? So I look to the programming committee to be the entity that builds those relationships. And so that's why I am recommending referring it to the programming committee as the place where you get all of is in dialogue with the executive director, the GMs, and the PDs about, okay, are some of these already happening? Or do some of these not make sense? Should these be included in job descriptions? Should these be included in, personal improvement programs? All of that sort of thing. This merits, if we want it to actually happen, it merits initiating a conversation rather than sending in a unilateral directive that is very long, very detailed, and I think would be lost in the shuffle. That's my personal feeling.
Jim Dingman, then Beth?
Jim? Well, let's talk about the forward promotion part, which frankly should be implemented right now. I've looked at the various grids, probably more than most people, in all the stations for quite a long time. And I'll give you an example. There was a morning show that had a very popular host in New York that never ID'd the station in that morning show drive. Never ID'd it once. So guess what? When the Nielsen ratings came back, there were only 200 to 500 people listening. Hence, people were surprised. Oh, why isn't it making any money? Well, what I'm suggesting here is common sense traffic management. Now, some of you may not be familiar with that because in governance, I guess, you know, you're governing a broadcasting system. You're not governing, Crest toothpaste. So, you know, get with what you're actually doing here. We're trying to recover and turn around a broadcasting entity. And so, you know, talking about having people ID their show. And then also, by the way, most of the people who listen to our content are not driving cars. Okay. I've seen many surveys coming out of the stations over the past 20 years. In New York, I think it's about 60 to 70%, maybe more, that only listen to radio at home. Now, what does that say about drive time radio, which is all about people listening to radio in cars? We are just simply not targeting that audience. Hence, we lose that audience. So one of the things in there is to have the day parts advertised. If you don't know what a day part is, please look it up, you know, because you are indeed administering radio stations.
Jim, your time is up.
So, you know, look, we have to turn it around. And these are turnaround policy that are common sense for radio broadcasting?
Beth?
Yeah. I don't have any reason to think that I would oppose any common sense measures that would be included in these various motions, but they are long and detailed, and I haven't had a chance to read any of them or consider any of them or discuss them with staff or other board members. And so in order to support this or any other such detailed motion, I need the information in advance so that I can do my due diligence and my homework and come prepared. So I'm sorry to say, without that opportunity, I can't support this tonight. If there's that time allowed, then perhaps at a future meeting. But this kind of shooting from the hip and expecting everything to happen in the moment, it doesn't fly. So thank you.
I'm going to make a quick comment, and then I'm going to give Stephanie an opportunity to comment because she was trying to unmute previously and just wasn't. So in Jim's defense, he submitted these motions and they were on the agenda for last week's meeting. We did not get to them. We did not discuss them at all. But it is true that people have had all of this information for at least a week now. So it's not quite as shoot from the hip maybe as not getting the agenda until right before the meeting might imply. Go ahead, Stephanie, if you'd like to address Teresa's question. And then I see Sharon, I see your hand. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of the motions, and I believe these motions, Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they were originally from 2017, but then weren't implemented. And it kind of harkens back to, there's a lot of emails that I'll get from people that will say, you know, you're breaking a motion that was passed in 2013 or 2015 or something like that. And a lot of these motions are really, if they were bullet pointed, would become, you know, the basis for standard operating procedures for the stations and for positions. So if, you know, if there was some place that was an easily accessible way to get a lot of these motions that have been passed, but then once they're passed, they're not reviewed again, that I could then put together in a, you know, convert them into a bullet pointed process of this is what we need to do at this station regarding ID, regarding social media. That makes it a lot easier for the staff to be able to follow directions on what to do rather than reading these in a whereas, therefore, you know, kind of statement. But if it's just a very, you know, they could be passed as motions, that's fine. But then if I can be able to somehow or find easy access again to a lot of these past motions that have been overlooked and turn them into workable, employee-friendly, basic to-do lists and milestones, outcomes, that make a little bit more sense to the staff to follow and for me to be able to follow up on rather than the language from the motion.
Thanks, Stephanie. I equally just had difficulty unmuting myself. Sharon, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking about the times that we are in today, with the staff and the financing and various things that are going on, because there are some people who are extremely short-staffed, and there are some who are being laid off. There are some people who might have to go and get a second job so that they could maintain their housing and food or whatever it is else that they require. And to put these things in place, it does get back to the situation regarding who is going to be overseeing this. How is this going to work at this particular time? You know, it's unfortunate it did not move forward back when it was passed in 2017. But because by now the people would know the process and know how to move it and how to work with it. But to put this stuff in place and say, this is what you have to do now. We always have to, well, we should really consider the time that we're in. And is it possible for this to happen in this situation with the staff the way it is today?
All right, Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
All right, first of all, these were not passed in 2019 because of what I described. There were problems that existed because of the replacement of the executive director, Mr. Jackson, and then there was a hiatus, and then, of course, we were plunged into the crisis with New York in October of 2019. So these motions remained dormant. But, you know, I think I could say safely that the advice that more or less I think that many experts have given us is that we have to turn it around. Turning around means getting into the nitty-gritty of how you turn around a broadcasting entity. And to argue that it's to be postponed to have as our policy to integrate all the stations into all the different social media platforms, frankly, is retrograde, because that's been part of our problem now for 20 years. We have remained in the 20th century, not the 21st century. The issue of training, yes, indeed, there is great stress. And part of the stress is due to the fact that a lot of these issues were not methodically thought through by previous PNBs because, frankly, their focus was not on programming problems. Why? Because most of them have never been programmers, so they didn't understand these issues. These are problems that have to be solved now. And in lieu of the fact that I don't see some coming up with solutions, except, well, let's study it, let's analyze it, let's form a commission, I know that tactic, you know, we are responsible for trying to shift the financial collapse of this operation and put it into the black financially. These are all measures that have to do with improving the content of our sound. That's the key thing. And the only station that has that training program process is KPFA. There have been examples like of that in New York. That got sidetracked for a whole variety of reasons. And people will admit that problem right now, that some people don't know how to do anything on the air. This is to rectify that. This is to constantly create a culture of nurturing at the station level. And so, yeah, we have to take in account all the financial situations that Sharon raises. Who's going to deny it? But we're trying to turn it around for the better. Thanks.
Thanks. Jim Sagerton, you're up, and you have to unmute yourself. Sorry. Go ahead. Oh, you're coming through fuzzy, Jim.
Crap. How about now?
Now you're fine.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. I want to know if the maker of the motion would consider what people seem to be concerned about here, which is what the maker is concerned about, how to implement these things. The executive director has offered that it would be nice if these things were in some kind of a guide or a handbook. Would the maker of the motion consider taking this back to the programming committee to develop, in conjunction with the executive director and the station managers or program directors if necessary, a handbook so that people will have something they can hold in their hands and use to implement these things? These are basic modern procedures for a radio station's operations. I don't think there's any debate about that. Can we implement this by making it into some kind of a handbook that they can be put into use at the stations?
Point of information, Madam Chair, I apologize. Maker of the motion, does Mr. Sagerton mean Jim Dingaman's motion, or does he mean my motion referring to committee? If he means my motion, I accept his version.
I think that's right.
You've gone fuzzy again, Jim. You're still fuzzy.
Okay, I'm going to give up.
Now you're fine.
Okay, I was just going to say I was conflating the two, and I would possibly suggest merging the two into this idea of creating a usable handbook.
A point of personal privilege?
Go ahead, Dingman.
Obviously, all these options are to be done, but a personal handbook is a later kind of event. These are measures that need to be implemented immediately in terms of turning it around. And forward promotion to me is a no-brainer, frankly. Maybe I did indeed send these out actually weeks ago in several iterations. So perhaps since this is a subject of debate, maybe it would make sense, since we want to go to an executive session, to postpone, but I do not consider it a friendly amendment or motion to delegate it into the dustbin of history, which is how I interpret that motion from Ms. Jung.
I second the motion to postpone.
Got it. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone?
Till when?
Until the next meeting?
Are there any objections to postpone to the next meeting? Hearing none, that is what we will do. Apologies to Darlene, and it appears that Lawrence is also back too now. Okay, so what that brings us to is that's the whole new business item then. And so item 8 on the agenda is a 1-minute item, which is a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m. Eastern time. Folks, we're not doing too badly here. It's 10:15, and, you know, we got started a couple minutes late, so we're actually not in bad shape here at all. Is there a motion to move into an executive session?
So moved.
A second? I heard Sagerton second it. Any objections to the motion to move into executive session? Hearing none. At 10:16 p.m., we are moving into executive session.